You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
For our final piece today, we have our weekly Eurovision segment. Anika will be taking over from Francis from now on, and this week she chats to European correspondent Cameron Mulgan about the happenings in Europe. Here they are now.
Unexpectedly heartfelt ukulele performance there from Iceland.
It's Eurovision on 95BFM with our European correspondent Cameron Mulgan.
Starting off today, we're going to do a little bit of an update on Ukraine.
So the battle for Severodonetsk continues. However, the Luhansk governor admits that Russian troops control most of the city, apart from the Azot chemical plants, where over 500 civilians are reported to be sheltering. It's been reported that the next week will be decisive for Russian efforts to take control of the city. Russian forces continue to focus on resisting Ukrainian counterattacks north of Kharkiv, and there have also been reports of an increase of partisan attacks over the past week in Russian-held territory in the south of Ukraine. Millions of tons of Ukrainian grain exports are still being blocked. Ukrainian President Zelensky addressed the African Union on Monday, stating Africa is being held hostage by Russian war efforts. Russia, in turn, is blaming the West, whilst the EU foreign policy chief calls the Russian blockade a war crime. Tensions are rising between Russia and Lithuania, with Russia warning of serious consequences after Lithuania began to enforce bans on some imports to the Russian exclave of Kaliningrad. Kaliningrad is a Russian exclave on the Baltic Sea between Poland and Lithuania. And over the weekend, Lithuania began to block rail imports of steel and iron between the two territories, which Lithuania claim are in line with EU sanctions. The UK has announced an offer to train up to 10,000 Ukrainian troops every 4 months in an as-yet-unknown third country. This follows a visit to Kiev on Saturday by Boris Johnson. The first 4 out of 14 M113 APCs donated by Australia have arrived in Ukraine. This is in addition to 20 Bushmaster armoured vehicles, which arrived in April. The American Attorney General Merrick Garland is in Ukraine now to discuss efforts on helping to prosecute war crimes. And the German Chancellor Olaf Scholz, French President Emmanuel Macron, Italian Prime Minister Mario Draghi, and Romanian President Klaus Ioannisis met with Zelensky in Kiev on Friday to discuss their support for Ukraine, as well as its application to the EU.
So next up, we are talking about the European Commission's backing of Ukraine and Moldova for EU candidate status.
Yeah, so this is very good news for Ukraine and Moldova. So the Ukrainian Commission on Friday formally recommended both Ukraine and Moldova to get candidate status to the EU. This is just the first step of the process of joining the EU in quite a long period of regulatory alignment. Since 2016, Ukraine has begun to align with the EU's acquis, which is a common set of laws, regulations, and treaties that all EU member states must implement, with about 70% having so far been adopted by Ukraine. The accession process will take years, and it's split up into different chapters of negotiations and review and requires unanimous agreement by all 27 EU member states. EU enlargement is a strong point of debate within the EU, and certain countries like the Netherlands are hesitant to expand the club too quickly in case it leads to further instability. Candidate status also doesn't automatically mean that it will be accepted. Turkey, Albania, North Macedonia, Serbia, and Montenegro also all have candidate status. However, it is an important signal in the potential future for a country. Moldova is even further behind in terms of regulatory alignment, and it also has an ongoing border dispute with the breakaway territory of Transnistria. So the timing of this is pretty significant, and what it also shows, and it's also a bit of a show to Russia to try to keep out its influence. In April, the Russian military expressed its desire to take southern Ukraine and also annex Transnistria. Georgia was the loser in this announcement. All three countries presented their candidate applications at the start of the invasion and wanted to be treated together. Georgia fought a war with Russia in 2008 and also has breakaway territories. However, the EU expressed its misgivings about the current Georgian government. It states that there are still issues of political polarization, corruption, and unfree media and strong and weak state institutions, which is kind of reminiscent of its current issues with Hungary. And it claims that it has the, quote, perspective to be a member and it would review its progress at the end of the year. This also resulted in tens of thousands protesting for EU support in the capital of Tbilisi. So EU member states will be meeting on Thursday, where it's expected they will formally grant Ukraine and Moldova candidate status.
Next up, we are going to be talking about the euro. So Croatia has now officially met all the requirements for adopting the euro next year.
So this will also be discussed at this EU meeting this week. So Croatia could become the 20th member of the eurozone next year, replacing its currency, the kuna, with that of the euro. So joining the eurozone has been a long-term goal for Croatia, which joined the EU in 2013. It claims it would lead to better economic integration with the EU, more access to investment, and being less vulnerable to exchange rate fluctuations. Eurozone acceptance has various convergence criteria like low inflation and low national debt. So in 2020, it joined the European Exchange Rate Mechanism, which helps link a nation's respective currency to the euro. The Croatian Parliament in May then voted in favour of adopting the euro. And the European Central Bank and the European Commission at the start of June announced that it has that Croatia has met this convergence criteria. It's already gained acceptance by Eurozone member parliament member states, and it's expected to formally come into law by the European Parliament in July. So upon acceptance, Croatians will be able to exchange their kunas at a fixed rate. It's not the only former Yugoslavia nation to use the euro. Slovenia was accepted into the Eurozone in 2007, and both Kosovo and Montenegro have chosen to unilaterally use the euro with begrudging acceptance by the EU. So yeah, hopefully it can be a kuna matata for Croatia next year.
So moving on to the French parliamentary elections, somewhat of a surprising turnout with Macron losing his majority and the far right doing better than a lot of people expected, or at least in the international community.
Yeah, it was quite a bad week for Macron. So he lost his majority in the French National Assembly only 2 months after winning the presidency. His alliance Ensemble gained 245 seats, which is well short of the 289 needed for a majority, with both his health and environment ministers losing their seats. Left-wing alliance NUP, led by Jean-Luc Mélenchon, did slightly worse than predicted, getting 131. And yeah, it was a surprising outcome for far-right Le Pen's National Rally, which received 89 seats. This was Le Pen's best legislative victory. So it's thrown Macron into a bit of a flurry, who's hosting 2 days of coalition talks, which started today. He met with the centre-right Les Républicains, which is former President Sarkozy's party, who gained 61 seats. However, the party head, Christian Jacob, has ruled out a coalition. He's had introductory talks with the Socialist and Communist Party chiefs, which were both members of the new alliance, with no agreement being made yet. Jean-Luc Mélenchon has also ruled out any negotiations. More surprisingly, he has also said that he will meet with Le Pen. So yeah, Macron has a tough domestic agenda he wants to push through, retirement age increases and other education and welfare reforms, all which will be on the line with coalition talks. There's more talks ahead, and he also faces a no confidence vote on July 5th, which was submitted by NUP after losing the majority.
Right. And finally, we have an end to Denmark's and Canada's whiskey wars.
Yeah, a slightly nicer way to end a border dispute. So Hans Island is a small uninhabited island in the Nares Strait between Greenland and Canada, Greenland being an autonomous territory of Denmark. And since 1971, both countries have claimed a stake of the island, planting flags and bowls of whiskey during various expeditions. So last week, in a bit of a show to Russia, they announced that they'll split the island in half along a natural rocky outcrop. And at the press conference, both foreign ministers exchange a bottle of whiskey from their respective countries.
Macedonia with a reggae twist.
That was Eurovision on 95 BFM.
That was Anika speaking to European correspondent Cameron Mulgan on Eurovision about the French election, the situation in Ukraine, among other things.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.